Where do you perceive the state of civil rights to be today, and what groups do you think are most affected by discrimination, and what groups have the potential to take up civil rights and move it forward some more?
Well, I think we have come a ways, and we've got, you know, kind of snapshots to see different areas that have improved. The fundamental truism is that people who are disenfranchised or without power have to make their own case, and they have to do it consistently, somewhat with some articulation and form. So what I hope is that there will arise more and more leadership of people of color, but also more and more leadership of people like you and me, where we're bold enough to say, well, we're going to tippy toe in there with you, and attempting all the while not to preempt your agenda or to take credit for what you do. But we can't not do it, because it's our salvation too. That is to say, if you're not saved, we're not saved. And we go down the tube with you. And your questions were good ones, and I missed all the points. I missed those last points. That is your sub questions. Do you remember what they were? Really to the point. No good. The sub questions that you were just articulating, you weren't reading the notes, you were just talking.
It's about what's going on with civil rights now, and what society gained from what's already happened.
And I think we've gained a lot. But we have I think we're playing games. I think we said we've gained a lot and just kind of stopped. And I'm not able to see an aggressive, proactive agenda being enacted by people at all levels of the society. I see it somewhere in here. But if I watch, I watch television, I don't catch too much of it. You know, I see his various spokespersons, but I don't see that they make much difference. I would like to see deliberate funding by the churches and other people of actions by the very poor, like welfare money, who haven't got much to lose, and helping them step out and voice their pain, and stay stepped out. People are living these god-awful public housing hot boxes. People are wonderful people, but we put them in a situation where we dare them to try to breathe good. Just say, you just breathe. That's all we want you to do, because we can't go down in history as somebody who kills off the poor. So how could we liberate that energy among the poor? It's a mistake to think that poor people are not smart. They're so smart that it hurts. They know exactly how they hurt. And we don't. We can intellectualize it. You know, take it out of study. We don't know how poor people hurt. They do, and they could say so if they weren't afraid of being mean. You know, if a welfare mother gets out there and gets tough, they'll find a way to cut off her check, make her hungry, get her out of public housing, you know, get her cold. And that's for real. So what we've done is taken all these people, put them in ghettos, and scared them to death, intimidated them, and say that we're doing people a favor by having X billions of dollars in welfare. It's a crock. We should have X billions of dollars in welfare. But somehow it needs to be reconfigured in such a way that it liberates people and then imprison them. It has the absolute effect of choking, binding, putting people in shackles. You know, and I'm the first one to celebrate the fact that, you know, city government votes to build, you know, 500 more units for the low-income families. But, unfortunately, that's where it stops. And, if they do hire social workers, you know, recreation leaders, things like that, for the public housing units, they're people who become robots that mimic their superiors, and usually middle class valued people. That's not always true, though. No, these are sweeping generalizations. They're wonderful human beings who work in these places. But I remember once going to a welfare office in Jefferson County, and I had a couple of friends who worked there. They're social workers, and you know, there were social workers on every floor, just hundreds of them. And they take a break every once in a while, and they go in this big room and have coffee. And I went in. My friends called the attention. Said, George wants to say a couple of things. They introduced me. I said, I just want to throw a trial balloon up here. Every day, I'm walking around with the people you serve, who, I'm sorry to say, because you serve them, are not without a great deal of pain. They just can't make it in this world. And we know what your formulas are. We know them as well as you do. You probably don't even know anymore. You probably forgot them. You only promise to feed, to make available to people 66% of their unmet need. That's the state funding formula. And then who defined unmet need in the first place? A ludicrously low number to start with. So anyway, I want to salute you guys, because you really had a hell of a job day in and day out. But I also want to challenge you. I want to say to you, you know better than anybody else on the outside of that prison. What, like a prison guard, actually. what it's like. What the needs are. And what I challenge you to do until you see that there are ways to meet those needs beyond what you have now, why don't you have a walkout? Just stand strong. In behalf of the people you serve. I never heard the like. All these two or three ladies and giving me back this.
Well, Mr. Quill.
I said, you hadn't heard from the people you serve. I wonder if you ever looked any of them in the eye when you're talking to them. Well, people like us who get these good jobs could do something. Who are close to the ground physically. And they are. DPS social workers are. And again, let me say there's wonderful people out there. But the system itself is no good. I don't know what I'm talking
about. It is a little bit weird. The very thing about the end.
Well, I guess the my self-interest, my overriding self-interest as a churchman, as a follower of Christ, both individually and as a community member, is point toward both the need, the dramatic need I had, and the possible ways of going about resolving the problems that caused the need to exist. And without presuming that we know how to do that, dig in with the tenaciousness that won't let up until we learn something more than we know now about how to serve. And we were on television. I can't remember the whole quote. I can't ever remember the whole quote, but somebody quoted Martin Luther, the reformer, the church, many years ago. If you don't know what to do, you're doing your best, though. Go ahead and sin boldly. Don't get caught not doing that. Knowing all the time that God doesn't save us because of what we do, but still, in our joyful acknowledgement of having been loved by this God, we run to act with justice in behalf of the poor, or we are not followers, we're not believers. that make sense? That's it.